Hi, and welcome to Desired Again, the podcast from Echoes, designed to help you be bold, stay fresh, and become a better design and innovation leader, with me, Juliana Proserpio. Hopefully, we can help you not only predict the future, but create it through the lenses of design and innovation. Today, we're discussing how do we elevate quality journalism in a world that is rife with misinformation. Sheena Bala, from the Google News Initiative at APAC, has been striving to create sustainable futures for news and media organizations across the APAC region. In our conversation, we explore how design thinking in digital products can not only create new revenue models for the rapidly changing world of journalism, but also create a renewed sense of purpose in the role that journalism plays in our daily lives. Sheena is a natural-born design thinker, but first and foremost, she identifies as a storyteller. She has worked across India, Japan, and now Singapore in a variety of industries, including filmmaking, communications, PR, brand strategy, and business strategy. In March of 2017, Google created the Google News Initiative program, committing $300 million to the news and media industry. Sheena is working now with the GNI to deliver future fit longevity and relevance to news outlets in today's volatile landscape. In this episode, Sheena explores how her work with GNI, Echoes, and Splice Media is not only closing the empathy gap, it is transforming a whole industry. Learn how design thinking and digital products come together to create a future fit organization that not only is relevant now, but anticipates the future needs of their audience. Can we redesign legacy organizations to thrive in a digital age? Learn more in our conversation with Sheena. Hi, Sheena. Thank you so much for joining us on our podcast.
It's really, really good to be here.
Sheena, you are a person who has worked in many different industries prior to arriving at Google, right? So you have worked extensively in India and Japan in various roles and industry, including filmmaking, communications and PR, brand strategy, and business. But when did you first experience design thinking and how did you connect to it?
That's a really, really good question and a question that's core to my heart. I think design thinking has two different aspects to it, right? Like one is this kind of like the storytelling creative part of it, and then it's the problem solving part of it. My career has also had a similar to particular paths that I've taken in the former part of my life, where it was focused on storytelling and on creativity. As you've already mentioned, I was a filmmaker and a brand strategist. And as I witnessed digital becoming more and more central to how we were telling stories out there, I wanted to understand more of that. And the latter part of my career has been focused on understanding how storytelling is evolving in a digital space and how technology is enabling better and richer stories in the market. And so when I joined Google, design thinking was something that I had definitely heard of in the periphery, and it is core to how we design our products. And it was I was aware of it as a concept, but I truly, truly encountered design thinking from a firsthand experience when I joined the Google News Initiative 2 years ago, and it was brought as a program proposal to train some of our newsrooms in the market on design thinking. And that's when I fundamentally looked at this, not as this technology or innovation thinking process, but truly at something that newsrooms and I had been doing for a really long time, which is storytelling. But then how do you use that story is not only to express something, but also to solve for things. And I felt like it really fit in well with what we were trying to do under the Google News Initiative in terms of designing solutions for the newsrooms of the future and really creating this kind of collaboration that did not exist in newsrooms. So I felt it addressed everything that we had as a goal under the initiative.
I love how you talk about your story and how you ended up becoming a design thinker. So now you are this conscious designer. You probably always were, but I think now you are conscious that you are also a designer, that you're helping to design new business models for news industries and stuff like this. So I think this is something interesting because design thinking really helps us to see ourselves, all everyone as designers, as creatives, and really lifts our creative confidence, right? You also talked about the storytelling angle of design thinking. I think this is really interesting and how you are helping to shape these new narratives in the digital age. I think it's really, really nice. So on that, now you are helping to lead the Google News Initiative in APAC. So would you tell us more about the Google News Initiative and what are some of the challenges that newsrooms are facing today?
Absolutely. So the Google News Initiative, under its umbrella and brand name, is only but a 2.5-year initiative that is meant to pan out for 3 years. But it truly is a 15-year-long commitment that Google has had towards media and journalism. And the initiative is a way of bringing all the work we've been doing across these 15 years, across our products, across our partnerships and programs, and bringing them under a single umbrella of that we launched in March of 2017 to commit $300 million and design a programs that were not only impactful for the news and media industry in the now, but also for their long-term sustainability. The News Initiative has 3 key pillars. Number one, how do we elevate quality journalism in a world that is rife with misinformation and digital? While it's enabled information to be out there for everyone to access, it has also created a lot of complexity in people's ability and technology's ability to surface high quality, trustworthy information. So how do we as an initiative enable that? Number two, advertising is a very, very big challenge and focus areas for news and publishing. And if you see the world that we're living in today with COVID, you've seen 30 to 40% decline in advertising, right? And so how do we ensure that while newsrooms focus on advertising dollars, we also start working with them on new business models and new ideas of revenue? And thirdly, as a technology company, our job is to bring cutting edge technology to our newsrooms. And so how do we do that? But also ensure that this technology is relevant in enabling efficiencies across workflows, problems that journalists are facing today out there in the field. And how do we enable some of the problem solving through technology is the 3 key focus for the Google News Initiative. And now more than ever, I think are in a COVID world, these 3 pillars have become very relevant.
You spoke a bit about the Google News Initiative approach being very ecosystemic, right? I think that's very interesting. And it shows the maturity, the design maturity of Google that is very high. You were also talking about elevating journalism. How can we help these organizations to become more digital? And now in the post-COVID and during COVID and post-COVID, how do we make change? How do we help these organizations to really become more relevant, right? So how do you think that these challenges, and they're huge, connect to design or to design thinking?
That's a great question. And I think if you think about all of these challenges as the skin, the surface level of our problems, and you dig deeper, and we work very closely with our communities of leaders within the news and publishing industry. And if you start digging deeper into, okay, what are some of the initiatives we can do around misinformation? What are some of the initiatives that we can do around business models and actually solve for data? And what are some of the ways that currently technology is not being optimized? You dig deeper into it and you see that it is ultimately a human problem, right? Like how news and media organizations, while there are some very digitally first publishing companies out there, have also acquired legacy workflows and legacy ways of thinking through information. And the challenges that they face are very similar to the key pillars of design thinking, which are around empathy, collaboration, and experimentation. And what I mean by that is if you think through empathy, newsrooms not only need empathy internally across different functions like marketing and editorial to understand what their worldview is and how, as data teams are being formed within newsrooms, what their worldview is, and to understand how they're looking at the same output, which is to bring information to their consumers. That kind of empathy is really lacking, and it prevents them from really addressing new ideas of business, right? And so one is that angle of internal empathy. And then newsrooms, one of the things that I hear more than often, and I'm not from the industry, is this journalistic gut, right? Which is so true. Newsrooms are at the core fiber of not just the way we are evolving as human beings, but also as society. And they keep ideas like democracy and quality information alive. But what we've noticed over time is this distancing of truly understanding what their readership wants and this lack of empathy to understand how they can deliver that value. Information with the open web is available online for everyone. So what is truly the value that the newsroom is bringing to the user is something that we've started seeing the gaps widening, right? And that aligns with that building of empathy, that aligns with that building of cross-functional collaboration that's required between editorial and these new skill sets that are being brought to the newsroom. And thirdly, experimentation. You know, I am not a journalist, but I work with journalists day in and day night. And what we notice is this absolute perfectionism. They know what the story that they're going for. They know exactly how to go and get that information. And they want to be perfect at that storytelling. Whereas in a world that's constantly evolving, both in terms of user trends and the environment that these users are engaging in, think of it in a COVID space. These journalists want to look for that perfection, but what you need is this constant experimentation and constant iteration, whether it is a story or a business idea. And I think that culture is really lacking in newsroom. And if we think, again, coming back to like when we looked at all the pillars that we wanted to work in and understood what the challenges were, these challenges were pretty much in these three focus areas that design thinking is built on.
You were talking about how these newsrooms could work and become more user-centric, audience-centric. Do you think there is anyone out there who is doing a great job at it?
Absolutely. And if you think of the way how apps as a consumer product has evolved, if you think about what a Grab is doing in Singapore or an Uber tried to do globally, if you think about, you know, all of those digital first businesses that we talk about in the space of innovation, forget what is the core product that they're offering. But if you think through the value chain of how they're delivering it to their users and how they're constantly iterating on where these user eyeballs are at, they do a great job of being constantly at the pulse of their audience. And I think there are so many of them that we don't even speak at a global front that are in Asia Pacific. And what are newsrooms learning from them? And I think for me, if you think about like Spotify, right? And how Spotify, from just being a space where we engage with music to then becoming a space where we could share playlists to then also becoming the platform where you can now hear really high quality podcasts on subject matter expertise. It's a constant evolution that a business has gone through, and they are not in the, we're going to aim for the perfect. They're constantly in like, where is our user at? Let's give that out there and then let's improve on it. And I think for me, that's something that newsrooms can learn from.
I have the pleasure to have been working with Sheena since last year. We are partnering at the Google News Initiative Design Accelerator, and it's been an absolutely great learning curve for us working with you, Sheena, designing things together, thinking about the program, thinking about the partners. But you are the leader of it. What is the Google News Initiative Design Accelerator?
Well, I think it has been an equally steep learning curve for me working with you and working with our news partners, who I think when we started to have these conversations on how could we look at change management, and then we said, okay, we can connect the dots to design thinking and bringing this change management. And what does that look like, a holistic program versus a one-time workshop on the concept level, but actually showing proof? And we started designing the Design Accelerator. I think we were at a point where we were still very optimistic on its reception. And as you know, more than often, like, it has been a challenge because it requires a lot of rigor and commitment. So just kind of stepping back from where we are at today to what is the Design Accelerator, kind of going back to the first principles of the Google News Initiative, which was these pillars across technology, business, and quality journalism. And if you think through what the output of those is that it's able to bring impact to our newsrooms in terms of the challenges that they're facing today, but also be able to design for new products and new futures from an innovation point of view. And so what we came together was this customer feedback, wanting to have impact, wanting to infuse our newsrooms with an innovation culture, and then allowing them some mechanisms to compete in this really digitally competitive environment. And so the Design Accelerator was something that we partnered with Echoes, who we're having a conversation today with, and Splice, who are an association that works with media startups in Singapore, based out of Singapore, but pretty much across Asia Pacific, to design a program and what it would look like. And we had two clear phases to it. One was just introducing the principles of design thinking to the newsroom. So almost a three-day workshop that we hosted across our participating publishers that simply introduced the core principles of design thinking and then allowed them to also go through a few exercises to experience what that meant. And we got folks within a single organization across marketing, across data, across editorial, but also sometimes across HR and legal and supporting functions and people functions to understand what design thinking meant and how they could take simple exercises to their day-to-day. The second part of the program, and as I said, it was not just infusing the innovation culture, but showing impact. And so we selected key sponsors or key contributors from each one of these functions who'd already gone through the design thinking training, close to about 5 to 8 people, for a very, very, very aggressive design sprint across 5 days, where they took a problem that the news organization wanted to solve and a real business problem and go through a sprint process where they designed the prototype for it. So all in all, it was 8 days of commitment. We trained close to about 194 people across news organizations, 7 news organizations across Asia Pacific. And we built 7 individual prototypes that we're now working with to take to market.
Yes, that's awesome. I was just remembering last year when we started the design of the Design Accelerator, we were all together in Singapore, Google, Echoes and Splice, co-designing what would be this program. So I think it's like we were doing a meta design at the time, and we were constantly listening to our partners and understanding what were their challenges, and we were always trying to adapt. And now we are adapting again, right? Taking the program remotely. We keep learning what are the needs, what are the things. So why do you think that this program is relevant specifically in Asia Pacific? Do you think there is a different way of doing in Asia Pacific, or do you think it's similar to other places?
It comes back to where Asia Pacific stands in the innovation curve across the globe. And if you think about how users are constantly evolving because of an introduction of a new technology, because of access, APAC has the scale, APAC has the diversity of different audiences, and it also has the complexities to really be the right combination, if you may say, of problem solving, right? You've got the diversity, you've got the users that are constantly evolving, and you've got the scale to be able to design something and then push it out to market. APAC's also at the forefront of where we see, I think within Google as well, a lot of the experimentation is taking place, because users are constantly, you know, if you think about the progression of technology and how users are adapting to it, within APAC, you will find markets that have been very developed, very similar to our Western markets in terms of their digital consumption, in terms of their device consumptions. But you've also got markets like India, where you've completely shifted from desktop to apps, and you skipped mobile web completely because of the infusion of cheap cell phones. So you're really dealing with diversity of the same problem. And so I feel like how newsrooms, therefore, operating in these markets, individual countries, and for these audiences are facing the changing consumer behavior from this perspective as well. And so I felt like if you are going to launch something on innovation, on designing new problem solving, then APAC is definitely where you should do it first. And I think what you learn from is you're basically stress testing some of these prototypes across different markets, and you're really pushing them through the fire of failure so that that which comes out as an idea can really be foolproof, right? If there is an idea of foolproof. You kind of are also these newsrooms that are not just big legacy newsrooms that have existed over 100 years, but also very agile, small, digitally native newsrooms. And so what the lab does is brings them together. You not only are working through different environments, but you're allowing these publishers to be able to speak to each other and share best practices, and which is what we tried to do with the playbook, and sort of build a synthesis around what we've learned and how some of these similar problems in different markets actually can learn from each other and become faster.
That's very interesting. So if anyone is interested, please check out the GNIDesignAccelerator.com. You can see all of our learnings from the Design Accelerator working in APAC. I think you mentioned a few things that's very interesting, that's specific from APAC. You were talking about why is it interesting to do it in APAC. First, I mean, you were saying that they are very open to experimentation. There is also the aspect that they are very diverse. So this is very important for innovation, obviously. Diversity brings more repertoire and more juice to innovation. You were also talking about they are becoming digital first and being fast on this adoption of maybe jumping from desktop to apps and then being able to scale the solutions after that, right? That's one thing that it's really interesting to think about when you're thinking about where should I choose to do my first launch or where should I focus, what kind of market or something like that. These are some things that you could think about. We spent a lot of time and a lot of effort building the Design Accelerator and working together with these awesome partners that we had. What was the biggest lesson you learned so far in the Design Accelerator? I know there are many. Maybe tell me a few of your biggest lessons that you learned during the Design Accelerator.
That's a really good point that you've said, right? There are many lessons, and I think you never stop learning, number one. And if we as designers as well have learned so much that if we were given a choice to redo this, we would do it better and how we would do it. And I think that set aside, there were a lot of things that we learned in terms of the applicability of a Design Accelerator to newsrooms. And we went in there very sort of ready on what are some of the problems that we're going to solve, making sure that we were solving the right problems that were important to the business side of things, but also something that we could get editorial and other functions buy-in in. Once we had our participating, and as you know, we went through an assessment, we kind of looked at what all we could do to really, really get the right ingredients in place for a participating publisher. And in spite of having gone through the rigor, I felt like the first roadblock that we faced was this lack of clarity of mission. Obviously, it's a problem that I don't think we can solve today, but I think we've at least allowed a space or infused these organizations with the ability to be able to at least address it or think about it the next time they have a project statement or scope being written out. But the one thing that I think that really stuck with me is this lack of clarity of mission. An editorial problem and what editorial wanted to do, engage with readers, is very different from the metrics that a data team is looking at or a marketing team is looking at. And so constantly going back and forth between these different functions was definitely a struggle, and really helping them shape the problem that was important to the business, but also feasible and viable to solve was something that we faced. And I think more than often where the answer lies there is very strong leadership, where the leader can come in and say, and be part of the conversation and a dialogue and say, this is what we need to solve for, and this is how it's important to the business to bring in that buy-in. As we went through the Design Accelerator, the second challenge was that we went through a back sprint for 3 days, designing the curriculum of our training to newsroom realities. How are journalists going to encounter this? How are other functions going to encounter? What are the time constraints they have? What is the worldview that they've had? while even we did that exercise, we still felt that they were strapped for time, and that 8 days or 5 days of the sprint were still very, very demanding on the fires that they have to deal with on a day-to-day basis. If they're called in for it, you know, breaking news looks very, very easy on the TV. But the amount of work that goes behind creating that breaking news and how much on toes journalists have to be able to deliver that breaking news was really evident when we were going through a sprint and our product guy would disappear or our journalist would disappear. And it's very understandable. So how do we start even getting better at designing a program that is relevant to a newsroom is something that I have learned. And I think personally, the team has learned as well. And coming back to, again, that problem around the lack of clarity of mission requires executive buy-in and requires not just the clarity on what problem we're solving for, but again and again, bringing to your executive the empathy that you're learning. In design thinking, we had journalists and our core teams going on the roads and interviewing the user or the audience group that they were targeting. And they learned a lot of things, even though they, as journalists, have, you know, they more than anybody have been used to interviewing users. But there's a difference between quantity and quality. And when you spend, instead of 5 minutes, an hour or 30 minutes interviewing one single person, you really get to that need that we're looking for in order to design a user-centric solution. But then the second fold challenges is bringing that user need to your executive as they judge the product. So how do you do that is something that I think we could do a better job of, bringing that empathy back into the executive environment. And then lastly, the assumptions that we, again, have a funny way of biases on what the user wants, have a funny way of seeping in, even though we're creating a program that makes sure we're removing biases at every step on what the user needs are before and after. Really being conscious of when you're brainstorming, when you're ideating, when you're presenting, how many of the facts that you're surfacing are actually biases or based on research that you've penned down as your insight. So I think that was also something that we can point out and be careful of as we go through the next iteration of a design sprint with a newsroom.
That's awesome. It's always good to learn from our experiences, right? I think it's constant iteration. So I'm going to change a little bit the subject here. So with the Google News Initiative, we are exploring designing new futures for media organizations, right? So what is, in your opinion, is the biggest challenge that media organizations are facing to become future ready?
In my head, and especially from the lessons that we've learned through the Design Accelerator, there are three key things that I feel we could do better and media organizations could do better. Number one, agile frameworks. So just because a process has worked for one particular problem does not mean it will work for another. Workflows and mindsets are definitely important, but a framework you've set your organization in and how they're speaking to each other and communicating to each other is really, really important when you're designing for new ideas. And so the more agile they are, the more you're able to change on the spot based on your challenges and the discoveries is going to enable better quality of ideas, better experimentation, but also better iteration. So that's number one. Number two for me is this openness to fail. And I think that was really, you know, first, it's the empathy towards the user, but then bringing in that empathy and then designing a solution. And I saw this like chaos happen through some of the sprints that we were going through, where while people were really focusing on their gut and designing, really going big with their ideas, flaring, they were not able to trust their own instinct. And that's because this failing fast culture does not exist in a newsroom. You're meant to come up with very good ideas and they should be perfect and they should address all the challenges that you're facing. And I think going into a design sprint as well, there were expectations from our participating teams that they're going to come out of this like winners with this absolutely miracle wand that is going to solve the problem. And we have to do expectation setting constantly, saying, if you don't go out and experiment, if you don't do user testing, if you don't push this for feedback and criticism, you're not going to be able to come up with a really good solution. And that requires a cultural change, that requires your leadership to believe it, and that requires every day reminding the employees that it's okay to fail.
And that is, I think, the second biggest challenge. And thirdly, I think this lack of new perspectives. It was an absolute aha moment for me when I witnessed somebody from marketing speaking to somebody in editorial and saying, all right, that's how you look at user engagement. And while we're looking at numbers and how many times they've clicked, you're looking at numbers of how many times they've completed an article reading and how many different categories you're looking through as a marketing metric. But has the user truly read your article, and completion rate is something that an editorial would look at. And so this idea of new perspective within the organization, exposing yourself to new perspective outside, but then also being able to share it internally is really important. And one of the ways that we see that happen is that news organizations often look at news organizations for as their competition. And so if you're thinking about like who's doing a better job in the market, you're looking at another newspaper and saying, oh, wow, they got the news faster. This urgency index, right? Breaking news, like who got the news out there early is a very key metric that newsrooms look at. But are you looking at the way your user is engaging with non-news products? And are you learning from how they're delivering value to your user is going to be really, really important. And bringing those perspectives, not just always to solve a problem, but just to share and learn from, is also a very key thing that needs to happen within newsrooms.
I think that's still on the topic of future and becoming future fit. I think one of the parts of our playbook, the Google News Initiative Design Accelerator playbook that I like the most, is the part where we talk about becoming future fit, right? So how these media organizations become future fit. And there are a few things that we mentioned there. There are three key points. I think the first one is that, and I think this applies not only to the media organizations now with COVID, I think every industry will have to rethink how they're going to become future fit, right? So I think the first one is for any kind of company to value systems and value the way how you establish the new value systems to remain competitive and relevant. So I think these are something that we need to be thinking about. And second, how do you redesign your workflows and your organizational design? Now everyone is working, not everyone, but most of all of us are working remotely. And even if you go back, we're not going to be 100% in the office anymore, right? So how do you create new workflows? How do you use different technologies to become more prevalent in your users' lives? Because we're not going to be together a lot, like in big crowds and stuff like that. I think this was number two. And then number three, developing new behaviors, right? Working cross-functionally, active audience listening, user empathy, data ethics, voicing diversity, and a few other things. So I think these things are quite interesting to think about becoming future fit. And we also even designed what would be the five skill sets of the future for media companies, just so that we remember it was, okay, so you're going to be needing a new business model innovation manager. This is more relevant than ever, right? Now with COVID, you're going to be needing a data interpreter. You're going to be needing also an audience representative to understand what your audiences and users really want. That's super relevant nowadays. You're going to be needing digital product leads. Some companies already do have that. Many media companies and many industries don't have that. That's super interesting, especially now, again, with COVID, this is super relevant. And in learning experience manager, many organizations are using this time to upskill their teams, right? You don't necessarily need to let everyone go necessarily, but you can upskill them and enter this new world after and during COVID. So, Sheena, what do you think about these things of becoming future fit?
I think there is not much for me to add in terms of what you've already outlined, right? Like, how are we thinking through the internal organization and the frameworks there? And then how do we sort of start designing for the skill sets that are going to be important? But I think one key to all of this, which I think is at the core of it, is this unlearning that your worldview is the only relevant one. And I'm not saying that news organizations do it, but if you put unlearning old ways so that you can design for new,
is really important for an organization to have as a cultural pillar, and then to be able to instill that in your employees. Because one of the other revelatory things was when folks within the design sprints were coming up with big ideas that they themselves felt they were not capable of. And that's where you see innovation happen, because it's not that people are not capable of it, it's just that they haven't learned tools and processes to unlearn so that they can create anew. You've captured that will in how an organization can do that. And the Design Accelerator Playbook captures it really well and how organizations can do that. And what are some of the skill sets that will help you design for a future fit newsroom?
Design as a verb is about always constantly be thinking about the future, right? So you are always creating change, creating the next step and designing the next step, designing a new product, a new service, a new reality, whatever these things are. So why do you think that designing new features for media and news are not only important, but critical in times like this?
That question goes back to what the role news and media industry has played in society, right? Like, they've been at the backbone of making sure that people had access to information, that they could use that information to improve on their daily lives. And that then impacted the society at large in keeping frameworks or institutions like democracy alive, right? And we see that really, really getting challenged in a digital age, and more so in an age that is seeing epidemics, philosophies and belief systems that are not for say, the greater good, come up and become more prevalent across the world, right? And so I think more than ever, users are looking for trusted information. If you think about COVID as well, we've done a lot of research work around how trust is shifting from media to, say, TV, to NGOs. Where does trust lie? What are the indicators of trust? And before the COVID world, in every research piece that we did, we felt that users were looking for a lot more information around entertainment and lifestyle than they were for news, because news was depressing and hard news was something that they didn't feel they were getting true utility out of. That was a pre-COVID world. And in COVID, we've suddenly seen this massive shift around user behavior and readership onto newspapers, because they're again looking for trusted information around the epidemic and ensure that they can take very well-informed decisions. So the role of media news to surface that trusted information is critical. And because it's changing based on all of these external variables, it's really, really important for the internal organizations to understand these changing behaviors and to be able to implement that into their value creation, into that information that they're publishing on print or digital, and how that is being published and what is the angle that you're taking and how is this going to be useful for my user is really, really important. Spread of misinformation is more than ever an issue that societies are facing, and important decisions around policies and governments are being made on it. So what role can news and media information play in that is really, really critical. And then if you think about it, we're still kind of like in an age, yours and my generation, you know, we've experienced both worlds where we were the pre-mobile world, pre-smartphone, smart TVs, and we've transitioned into not living our lives without our mobile phones. And so we understand the value of like trusted information and why a particular brand of newspaper is closer to my heart than the other. But if you think about the generation millennials, as we call them, and their consumption habits and their worldview and how they think what is of value or not is very different. And so if news and media organizations don't or don't understand that, are not well connected to it, they're not going to be able to help shape the world that's coming. So it's really, really important for them to start thinking about why they need to be future fit versus addressing some of the older worldview problems.
I think you were talking about for you to design your future, you need to understand younger audiences and the needs of your audiences. I think this connects a lot to my next question. So what do you think that is the link between empathy, understanding your users, and developing a new product mindset or developing a new product?
This is what we've, again, tried to do with the Design Accelerator. How do you connect empathy, which is understanding not just user behavior, but what is the need that user behavior is trying to address? And doing qualitative research that builds on that empathy to discover new user needs. And it's only when you can surface new user needs can you actually build onto a product. So that's number one. And empathy is directly related, if you think about it, to sustainability. You can go in and design a product that addresses a need today, but if you're really not dug deep enough, you don't know how it's going to stay relevant over times and changing market dynamics. And so the more work and effort and rigor you put into developing deep insights into user needs, the better you're going to be able to tweak some of the approaches that you've applied today for the future world so that you continue to address that need. And needs fundamentally don't really change that much. If you think about what a user need, it is fundamental. It is information. And if you think about it in the space of information, it's information that is interesting. It's information that is relevant. And it's information that I can apply to my day-to-day to be able to do X, Y, and Z. And I think this is why empathy is also going to be key in defining the future newsrooms, because if you think about user behavior, as much as we like to average and generalize things, the community aspect of which community you belong to, what does it stand for, how does it connect to your values as an individual is really, really important. And I think there's something there that if newsrooms are able to understand what is that user need and develop empathy for it, they're going to be able to design better products that serve that need.
When we are designing things, I think good designers, they always have the ability of zooming in and zooming out. So now we were talking about building empathy to build a new product or something like that. And before we were talking about the future of news and media industry. So it's ability of designing stuff that are micro on the detail, but also about the macro perspective, right? I think that's pretty interesting. So going back to the macro perspective, what do you think that is the first step for someone to take true action? So how can they start designing the future of their industry, being media or news or other industries? We all need to innovate and evolve. So what do you think is the first step when you're thinking about designing the future of your industry?
I think number one, and I can't stress that enough, is identifying the problem that you want to solve, right? And really, really spending that time as much as you can in data gathering internally on figuring out whether it is the right problem that you are solving for is not. And what I mean by that is that one is this angle of like, what are users looking for? And so can we design a product that addresses a certain target group? But if you think about the problem that a CEO or somebody at a C-level is thinking about is how are we going to churn revenue? So does that problem that you are trying to address, the new target group, that product that you're trying to build, connect with the revenue goals that your leadership has in place? And similarly to that, you know, planning happens a year ahead. Do the motivations and incentives that a marketing team or a data team have align with your problem? So there's a lot of data gathering that you have to do internally to take a problem, stress test it across different functions, and really understand what's on top of the mind for these people that I want to collaborate with, that I want to go solve for. And how does it align with the problem that I'm trying to solve for? So that's number one, identifying the problem. Then the next problem, once you've done the data gathering, is to stress test and see if that specific problem is actually achievable or not. Is it feasible to solve? Is it viable to solve? And before you start the designing process, and if you've done that groundwork in the beginning, you'll find the process a lot more efficient, a lot more smoother, but also a lot more impactful in what you design for.
Absolutely agree with that. That's super important. So we have been talking up so far about designing futures, designing products, designing news organizations. How do we reshape this business and this industry overall? But now, whenever we are designing things, when we're working with design, innovation, and change, I'm going to try to take you to a more reflective moment here. We almost always change ourselves in the process, right? Not necessarily as an intended outcome, but it often happens. So is there anything that you recognize that changed in you while we were doing the design accelerator or in this process of designing new things and working to design futures and change?
I think there were many things we learned and I personally learned. And I think it was a humbling process to understand that while innovation is something that we want to all aim for, if you unpack innovation and what it means from a different organization to organization setup, that it means it's very different. For somebody just organizing a workflow that is efficient is innovation, whereas for others, designing a new product for a new audience is innovation. So I think for me, really understanding the realities that my partner organizations were facing and the worldview that they operated in was a very deep, insightful learning. The number two is, I think it's going to take time. You know, I think it is the expectation that we set for ourselves and for our partner organizations that time is of essence, yes, but innovation does not happen overnight. And so how do we make sure that we set that expectation right? But also, how do we make our process in sprinting and developing these prototypes more succinct, more shorter, and more relevant to the newsrooms? And then I would say that I can't stress on the need for, before going into product and before designing a product, how much time we need to spend in sort of changing that mindset and allowing folks to fail and allowing folks to collaborate and have understanding of other worldviews and then allowing them to also unlearn things that have defined their worldview is equally important as designing a product prototype is. So how do we make sure that we make this experience more enriching and more impactful is going to be key in designing some really new innovative products.
I was thinking about it. That's I think we learned a lot as well. It was amazing for sure. I think one of the things that it was key for me is that culture changes everything, right? So understanding language and culture from your partners, from your users, even if they say yes, maybe they mean no, maybe they mean maybe. So you need to understand more culturally, where is this coming from? What is the contextual experiences that it's going on? So I think this is something that I have been thinking a lot about, what changed in me while this process happened. So last question before we go. So what do you think our audience should start doing after hearing our stories from the Design Accelerator about your thoughts on how to design things and design futures and design better products? What are the things that they should be thinking and doing?
I think there's a lot we've covered already in terms of what are our lessons and how they can start approaching problems. But frankly, if there was one thing that I would like to leave the audience with is that they should be downloading the GNI Design Accelerator playbook that is currently available on the website and really have conversations based on that internally on whether this is something relevant and we would like to apply. And then come back to us with feedback. Tell us what you think. Tell us what is missing. Ask questions. We're here and the website itself has a lot of information around how you can get in touch with us because we want to learn and our learning process is running in parallel with the process of our organizations that we partnered with. So keeping that in mind, give us your feedback so that we can get better at what we do.
Well, this conversation covered a range of interesting topics. We explored how perfection is key to providing accurate news for media organizations. However, perfection can also hold organizations back when they create new digital products. A whole new mindset and culture of innovation needs to be embraced within an organization to become future fit. This includes agile ways of working, new job roles, and breaking down of silos. And we touched on the very critical aspect of having clarity around your mission. If you are thinking about to engage in an innovation or digital product design sprint, we encourage you to take the time to ask some very critical questions up front, such as what is the business problem we're trying to solve? Or what is the mission of this project? What change are we striving for in our industry or the lives of our audience? These are big questions, but critical to answer if you want to change your life, industry, or society. Thank you so much for joining us. And join us next month for our conversation with Matthias Jacobsen. a consultant with Implement and founder of Think Clearly. Matthias is passionate about systemic design and providing the tools we humans need to build a new world. Matthias explains his purpose as seeing people blossom as they overcome challenges by holding a safe space for harvesting learnings along the way. Don't miss this conversation with Matthias. The world is changing, and it is knowledge like his that we need to design systems that serve us all. See you soon!